This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Thursday, February 5th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Alley. Here's today's headlines. RFK Jr. keynotes CattleCon. New Ag Group pushes USMCA renewal. And meet Brazil's new soybean growers. Well, Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is headed to the cattle industry annual convention, CattleCon, today in Nashville, Tennessee. His appearance comes as the new food pyramid and messaging around the new dietary guidelines are promoting consumption of protein and meat in particular. AgriPulse Lydia Johnson is reporting this week from CattleCon. Kennedy made a stop at the Tennessee Capitol yesterday as a part of his Take Back Your Health tour. The Agriculture Coalition for USMCA is formed to push for renewal of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. USMCA is one of President Trump's signature achievements and one that has significantly propelled the ag economy, says Brian Goodman, a spokesman for the new group. We are not saying it's perfect, as some changes are warranted, but we are saying it is of paramount importance to farmers that all three countries renew the agreement. Under USMCA, the leaders of the U.S., Mexico, and Canada must begin a formal review by July to determine whether to renew the agreement. If renewed, the agreement would remain in effect for an additional 16 years, with another review scheduled for 2032. If the countries fail to reach an agreement and move to terminate, USMCA will expire in 2036. The House Agriculture Committee plans to start debating its new farm bill on Monday, February 23rd. Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson tells AgriPulse he set aside the following two dates, February 24th and 25th, to finish the legislation. He confirmed that the legislation will include provisions to permanently house the Food for Peace program at USDA and to preempt state regulations of pesticides and California's Proposition 12 standards for animal housing. Thompson also says his committee will put out a draft ag labor bill for discussion in roughly 2 to 4 weeks. The measure stems from bipartisan task force put together by Thompson that in 2024 made 15 policy recommendations for reforming the H-2A program, which enables U.S. employers to hire foreign nationals for seasonal agricultural work. Thompson said the annual Washington meeting of the Association of State Departments of Agriculture that he's hopeful the legislation breaks this whole foreign worker gridlock. It's not about citizenship, Thompson said. This is about a reliable workforce. This is about food security. H-2A is under the purview of the Judiciary Committee. Senator Amy Klobuchar, the top Democrat on the Senate Agriculture Committee, says she supports immigration reform legislation, including improving the H-2A program. She also told members of NASDA yesterday she wants a robust bipartisan farm bill that deals with relevant immigration issues. Klobuchar says a limited farm bill can still deliver big for producers with additional financial aid for struggling producers, year-round availability of higher ethanol fuel blends, E15, updates of USDA loan limits, and expansion of mental health care access for farmers in rural areas. There will be a moment where we will either suddenly start working on immigration reform, shocking everyone, or there may be a moment where we do move forward with a bipartisan farm bill, and there won't be a lot of time to do it, she told the audience of state ag and food officials from across the U.S. When those moments happen, we need you speaking up. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. America's dairy farmers are committed to feeding the nation, but their ability to do so depends on sound, science-based policies. That's why they rely on Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the number two milk cooperative in the country and a leading voice for progressive, farmer-driven leadership in Washington, D.C. Edge represents dairy farmers and their families across the country, the backbone of rural communities and a vital part of our food security. From environmental regulation and workforce development to trade and sustainability, Edge ensures farmer perspectives are heard and that decisions in D.C. are grounded on facts, not politics. Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, advancing policies that strengthen America's farms, safeguard our environment, and sustain the next generation of dairy leaders. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Yesterday, the Senate Ag Ranking Member, Amy Klobuchar, before the members of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, expressed concern about the time that the Supreme Court is taking to rule on the legality of President Donald Trump's emergency tariffs. She said, quote, "The longer this goes on where we're not getting a decision, given the enormity of that decision, if it would be retroactive or if it's not retroactive, I keep getting concerned about what's really going on here because I thought they'd want to make this decision right away if they're going to order these tariffs illegal under the law, as I think they are." Klobuchar again attended oral arguments for the case back in November. 19 state attorneys general want the EPA to reconsider Biden-era regulations on domestic production of formaldehyde, citing the chemical's importance to the production of eggs and other agriculture products. In a letter, the attorneys general say overly strict rules on domestic formaldehyde made during the previous administration limit formaldehyde exposure in some cases to levels lower than what is found naturally. They say requirements should align more with formaldehyde conclusions used by the European Union, World Health Organization, and Health Canada. President Biden's decision to, in effect, ban domestic formaldehyde risk higher food prices for housing, for industry, and risk pushing jobs abroad, the letter says. Take note, formaldehyde is used as a disinfectant by egg, poultry, and pork producers and to reduce bacterial contamination of animal feed. Reporter's Notebook: Restrictions Challenge Brazil's New Soybean Farmers. AgriPulse trade editor Oliver Ward is traveling in Brazil this week and provides this update, suggesting specific indigenous ethnic groups in the Brazil state of Mato Grosso got the go-ahead from Brazil's Institute of Environment and Renewable Natural Resources last year to engage in mechanized soybean production. The groups have been farming on their land in a legal gray area for over a decade. But the authorization came with requirements that the land must have been previously cleared, cannot be leased to third parties, or planted with genetically modified seeds. The Parisi tribe says the GMO restrictions are hindering its ability to compete, according to Dejanari Kiesel, a Parisi leader, and her son, Artin Zumi Zakamai. Non-GMO seeds require additional crop protection sprays, demand more time, and deliver lower yields. When more than 97% of Brazilian farmers are using GMO seed, the Parisi say they cannot turn a profit and compete with their neighbors on price. Brazil's soybean harvest is already underway, and their beans are currently cheaper than in the Chinese market, in part due to lingering retaliatory tariffs on U.S. exports. USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agriculture Affairs Luke Lindberg is leading a trade mission to Indonesia this week, focusing on expanding market access and boosting U.S. agriculture exports. The U.S.-Indonesia trade pact negotiated this past summer eliminates tariffs on nearly all agriculture exports and reduces long-standing non-tariff barriers, issues critical to beef access in the country. USDA estimates the agreement will unlock more than $1.6 billion in U.S. agricultural exports. In Indonesia, I think we've worked through a lot of that low-hanging fruit, U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom said on the sidelines of CattleCon. So you combine that with this announcement of a framework agreement I think Indonesia for beef could have some big payoffs. Ahlstrom said those payoffs could exceed $200 million annually for U.S. beef if all non-tariff trade barriers with the world's fourth most populous nation are resolved. Corteva says the future is brighter with Bayer agreement. Corteva Agriscience plans to benefit from an agreement with Bayer that ended litigation over herbicide traits. That, according to CEO Chuck Magro in an investor call yesterday, Magro said Corteva was pleased to have reached an agreement which solidifies the use of existing technology rights in our own corn, canola, and cotton product portfolios, including our own germplasm, which will help the company reach, quote, royalty neutrality this year. The companies agreed to dismiss lawsuits against one another 2 weeks ago. The agreement also will allow Corteva to enter the cotton licensing market in the U.S., a space which the company currently does not participate. Here's today's final word. China has some imports from the U.S. delayed, so we expected that. At some moment, China was going to get more American soybeans. We expected that. I believe this could have a positive impact, according to Lucas Beber, president of APRASOJA MT, which represents soybean and corn growers in Mato Grosso. Beber was asked about President Donald Trump's post on Wednesday that China is considering purchasing 8 million more tons of soybeans from this season on top of its earlier 12 million ton commitment. Beber, who spoke through an interpreter, noted that the extra purchasing could raise U.S. soybean prices and extend Brazil's price discount. Well, that's Daybreak for this Thursday, February 5th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.